So open up your morning light and say a little prayer for I. You know that if we are to stay alive, see the peace in every eye.
All right, now for real, welcome to the Matthew Aaron Show, www.thematthewaaronshow.com, at Matt Aaron Show on Twitter, The Matthew Aaron Show on Facebook. You can like us there. My producers would hurt me if I didn't mention all that. I am here with the creators and executive producers of Don't Trust the Bee in Apartment 23. Don't trust the bitch.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
This is the interwebs. You can say anything. Okay.
Right. Right. And I'm here with David Hemmingson and Ninochka Khan.
Hi.
And we're going to talk about this show. I want my listeners who, you know, anyone that follows the show, you know, knows that I've talked numerous times about how I don't think there's a lot of great stuff on network TV, and I got to tell you, I watched the first two episodes of this, and it is a classic sitcom with a twist. I think it's really, really edgy, but at the same time, really relatable and really fun. There were a couple scenes in the pilot that I wanted to mention. First of all, having just moved out here like 8 months ago, seven months ago, and where she Skyping her mother, and her mother's like, don't buy bread. It's like $4 a loaf. I'll send you bread. That's my mother. Yeah.
Perfect.
And I mean, living with the crazy roommate. Yeah. Yeah, I can relate. I get it. I get it. So, I mean, there's a lot to really like about this show, and there are some great performances, and it's, the writing matches it.
Oh.
So I wanted to really compliment you guys on that.
Thank you.
I'm really impressed. I'm really impressed. I guess my first question for you guys is then how the show came about, and Lee, can you get the microphone closer to Ninochka?
Sure.
Yeah.
Here.
Yeah, if you gotta even take the microphone out of its holder, if you'd rather hold it, whatever you want to do.
Yeah, go carry it.
To be comfortable. We just need your comfort.
Yeah, I'll just start singing Tina Turner.
Yeah, exactly.
If I do that.
Totally
I'll go into
the heart,
karaoke
just
mode.
Completely.
But I was talking to David, and he had a great, interesting story about how you guys met, and I was wondering if you could share that for our listeners.
Back in Disney.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
I mean, talk about how you met.
His panic look. Like,
yeah, right? I was like, what? What story is
interesting
this?
Story.
but I think people would be interested in hearing how you met, how that relationship developed over the years and led to this.
Yeah, well, I mean, we met at Disney. It was I had just graduated from film school, and it was my first job.
USC, correct?
USC,
yeah.
And Dave had moved here recently from New York, right?
Yeah, I just quit being an attorney. I used to be a lawyer.
Yeah, he did a career switch.
Yeah, ballsy.
Yeah, Freaky Friday style.
It was totally Freaky Friday.
Yeah, we were randomly working into Disney TV animation in, like, kids programming.
Yeah,
yeah.
And Dave was writing for
101 Dalmatians, the animated series.
Wow.
Which is a lovely show.
I didn't know it existed.
Great show.
So many Dalmatians. So many animated Dalmatians.
You originally pitched 102 Dalmatians.
I did.
And you had to cut one here.
I had to cut one because they didn't have the budget for the 102 Dalmatians.
Didn't they make 102 Dalmatians, a movie?
I think they might have.
Well,
they
have a lawsuit.
I do have a lawsuit. And I am an attorney, so I will be suing for copyright infringement.
And yeah, so we met, and I was working on a show called Pepper Ann that an artist named Sue Rose from New York created. And
we worked on that show together.
We worked on that show together. It was my first job, my first writing thing, and they were basically like, here's your budget, like, hire whoever you want. Yeah. And I like remember faking my way through like production meetings, like, you know, with all the charts.
Yeah.
And all, like,
they seem interesting to me. And I should be like,
I see you've allowed for, okay, good. Like, I don't know what I'm talking
about. This is an animatic, I understand. Yeah. This is, so that's the visual depiction of the. Yes, fine, thank you.
Yeah. And I hired friends of mine who were like giving tram tours at Universal Studios. I was like, hey, you want to come write on the thing? They're like, yeah.
This is fantastic. Just imagine a hiring montage, very Kelly's Heroes.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I think
tram,
that's great.
Girl, you know, young lady riding a horse, and Notch runs into the field. And
yeah.
I think that's great.
Yeah. So we did, you know, it was a great, it was almost like grad school for me to work in Saturday morning, because we did 65 episodes of the show, and I just really learned, like, how to, you know, produce and write for TV on a schedule. I mean, it is sort of like a machine kind of thing. And it was great.
Yeah.
It was amazing. And then Dave went on to go into primetime.
I did the primetime. Jumped out of Disney and did some primetime stuff. And
I did later.
Just Shoot Me and
Just Shoot Me was very good.
Yeah, I enjoyed that show. That was a great experience. We're Steve Levitan, who obviously is doing Modern Family now. And
yeah.
He's actually kind of a great writer, and it was a great experience. And then did some work with An American Dad. Actually, Nash and I both ended up on American Dad.
Yeah.
Which was a great experience for us. I think Barker and Weitzman are kind of awesome guys.
Yeah. And I met Seth MacFarlane back in the day at Disney TV Animation, too. Like,
oh, wow.
I had like a tiny little office, and he and I were developing a show together that, like, we were the only two people on earth who thought it was funny. Like, nobody else liked it. It was called Old Goat. And this is about this, like, old goat who was, like, an old man and just complained all the time. I remember, like, pitching it at, like, just blank. Just, like, nothing. Like, nobody. They were like, why would a kid want to watch...
I've had those meetings.
What's that?
I've had those meetings.
Yeah.
Now, the Dalmatians, that's something else entirely.
Yeah.
Children like that, but the goat, not
so much. What's funny is 102 Dalmatians went, but old goat,
old
no.
Goat.
Maybe
goat.
If there was 102 old goat.
Yeah, but if
goat.
You were to pitch this now with Seth, you know that would go tomorrow.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, old what goat. Do kids love? Old people.
They love goats and old people.
Complaining old men.
You can conflate the two. It's
like
the chocolate and the peanut butter and the peanut butter and the chocolate.
Yeah, grumpy old men had a great young demographic, I'm sure.
It did. It did
big bucks in the eight-year-olds.
Like what is now the Transformers audience used to be the grumpy old men audience.
I heard Michael Bay was going to make the sequel. you know what?
That would actually be funny if you did the sequel with like the devil and God as like grumpy old men and they're like...
Angry
anyway,
with each other.
We'll talk about
the
that.
The age-old struggle.
Wait, didn't George Burns basically do that with himself?
Oh, God, you devil.
You devil.
Oh, God, you devil.
Oh, my God.
Done.
Jesus.
Everything's been done except for Old Goat, let's be honest.
Yeah, Old Goat
that's
the only
thing
only
that's completely
idea.
Original.
I know.
Completely original idea.
We have to resurrect that.
Call Seth right now. Yeah. I got him right here.
Just drop my name. You'll do fine. You'll be fine. So how did this show then come about? Because you guys had this relationship. You were on American Dad most recently, and then you got Don't Trust the Bitch in Apartment 23. Now, how do you guys come up with this idea, this show? How do you pitch it? What's the process for you here?
Well, this is an interesting one. Like, actually, we had sold it to FBC, to Fox, like 2 years ago.
Oh.
You know, I had just signed a development deal with 20th, so it was my first sort of go-round into development.
Yeah.
And I was trying to figure out what I wanted to do, and, you know, the idea of, like, women behaving badly has always, like, appealed to me. Like, I just think that's funny, personally.
Not straws from her own life.
Yeah. I just want to write about myself. And it wasn't existing anywhere on network TV at the time, so... I sort of, you know, took that, and then one of my favorite movies is Breakfast at Tiffany's, and so I was wondering sort of, like... that Holly Golightly character, like what she would look like today.
Yeah.
And then I was just, from that, I was like, well, maybe it's funny to give a perspective on that character from just like a normal, regular roommate who's like trying to pay the gas bill and watch Castle. You know what I mean? And like this other girl, like floating
in. She's watching Castle.
Yeah.
It doesn't get more Midwest than
right,
that.
Exactly. She's eating a hamburger, watching Castle, paying bills.
Because she loves Nathan Fillion.
Yes.
She
who doesn't? Come on.
Yeah.
She loves him. You know?
Yeah. Midwest girls love him.
Strong jawed. Leading man.
And like Midwest girls and their mom, like all generations.
My mom loves Castle.
He's like sexy Mark Harmon. He's like Mark Harmon, except sexier.
Yeah.
Younger.
That's my mom's favorite show, Castle.
Is it really?
Seriously is.
Of course it is.
And I kind of watched it thinking it was going to be awful just to please my mom. It wasn't bad.
Yeah.
You're
fine. Like, it's not bad.
We have a joke on one of the episodes where it's like this character's talking to his grandmother and he's like, "So, did you watch Castle last night?" He's like, "I know, it is getting better." It's getting better.
That's great.
But anyway, so and then, you know, the perspective of the sort of regular roommate living with this girl who's just like floating on champagne, and she's like, you know, "Do you have a checking account? Like, I never see, do you wait in line at the post office?" Like, you know, there's just these sort of characters that don't seem to exist in the real world. So that sort of, odd couple thing.
Yeah, I like that a lot. Yeah. You know, what's funny is but it's very relatable. It's very relatable, as I was speaking at the beginning, because I think even if you don't know anyone as crazy as Kristen Ritter plays.
Right.
And you know what? In a weird way, I don't know if she plays crazy. Because you guys do a very good job of making her character very Freudian. There's a psychological background to her where you kind of feel like you know why she's screwed up.
Right.
And it doesn't really make her crazy. It kind of makes you sympathetic towards her and makes her likable. I think it works really well.
I'm really happy that you think so. And that's a huge testament to Kristen. You know, she's such a great actress that she just, like, immediately brings these, like, layers to everything she does, you know? And she's a writer's best friend. Like, she makes the writing better, you know?
If you've seen it, we've talked earlier before we started broadcasting about her on Breaking Bad, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like you see her as Jay Margolis, and she's just, you know, exquisite in this drama. She's just incredible in this drama, and her comedy chops are equally powerful.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she's a really good actress. We're really, really lucky and blessed to be working with her.
And she could flip the switch in like 5 seconds, which is great. I mean, she can go from playing sympathetic and like you believe her when she does these con jobs on her roommate.
Right.
You know,
right.
Like you totally believe her that she's about the ottoman.
Mm-hmm.
Like you believed it. Like you thought, oh, this is a soft moment where she really wants this friggin' ottoman back.
And then we cut the treacle in.
I'm happy that you were on board with that.
And then it's so great that it comes back and she opens it up. And there's drugs in there.
Well, that's like those kinds of characters. It's like 1 second you're magnetic and just like, and then you go dark the next second, and then you go, you know, sympathetic, and you know, it's sort of like it's like Joe Pesci,
you know?
And was it Goodfellas? Right?
Goodfellas, yeah.
Where he's like, "You laughing at me?
Am I clown? Am I clown to you? Am I funny to you?
Taller Joe Pesci.
Joe Pesci. There's with a much better body.
And there's some great comedy in this, for instance, with the guy across the hall that looks at them through the window.
Eli.
Okay, I thought it was going to be done where it's like, okay, here's this pervert. Like Friends.
Right.
Like Friends.
Like
ugly naked guy.
You ever see, yeah.
Yeah, and the fact that him and Kristen Ritter have this great relationship is just great.
We really love that.
Oh,
yeah.
Good,
she doesn't
good.
Judge. I mean, the one thing about Chloe is that she's weirdly non-judgmental. I mean, she's got this weird, strong streak of honesty that shot through the character. I think it's a testament to Notch's vision and her writing. It's like, I really think that, you know, this character is just kind of dimensional in a way that you don't normally get. And the fact that she likes this dude who is sort of, you know, very odd and engaging in some very reprehensible behavior directly across the air shaft. You know, she just takes him for who he is. She likes him for who he is.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and Dave, I think in respect to you, you have a great sense of giving people their big breaks. Bradley Cooper on Kitchen Confidential. Oh,
thank you.
Mm-hmm. I got to tell you, I think this is Kristen Ritter's big break. What's the girl's name that Dreama Walker.
Dreama Walker.
She's fantastic, too.
Yeah.
And I really think this is a breakout show. All the characters are casted real well. Vanderbeek, like I said, I walked in here and I go, I knew Vanderbeek was going to be good. I knew he could riff on himself. I knew there it'd be funny. But he's really good.
Yeah. James has got this effortless comic timing. And he's it's a great energy.
It's so easy.
And it's a great energy because, you know, I think each of these actors have their own specific energy.
Yeah.
And Kristen's like this sort of dark-haired Lucille Ball, almost like this comic dynamo, and you say she can shift speeds really quickly.
Yeah.
James has got this just effortlessness that we just love to watch and write to.
He's like really brave.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like he's playing a version of himself.
Yeah.
So
the Vietnamese energy drink commercial. I mean, how great's that?
Love that, man.
And the fact that he's willing to poke fun at himself to that degree is great.
Totally. Yeah. You know, like he's up for everything. You know, nothing's off limits. He pitches stuff all the time. That's in the show.
And we use it. We use it consistently. Yeah. We were talking to him the other day, and I won't tip it, but he pitched on an arc, you know, conceivably for possibly going forward. We were like, that's awesome. I mean, he just sort of comes up with stuff. He knows the character of James Ritter so well, and he's got such a keen sense of how to skew it that he just nails it. You know?
I love the second episode where he wants to teach the acting seminar.
Yeah.
And he goes, James Franco's doing it, I could do it. He goes, I hate Franco. And his comic timing with it and his delivery is just so perfect.
So great.
It's
and
so on the money.
And, you know, we bring that back, too. Like
you see why he hates Franco going forward.
Yeah.
In future episodes.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. We just saw a movie recently. Lee and I, we just rewatched Stuck on You, the Farrelly Brothers movie with Matt Damon and Greg Kinnear, where Cher plays herself and pokes fun at herself mercilessly, and I'm like, no one would ever do this except Cher. She's the coolest broad ever.
Yeah, totally.
No, Vanderbeek did it, and it's great. It works really, really well. Yeah. And the fact that he's a real character, I don't feel like he's just playing himself, because you're getting subtle hints at his life outside of him playing himself. Mm-hmm. I think that's really cool. I love when he goes to the coffee shop and does the Shakespeare.
Yeah.
I think that's great.
I mean,
but I love that him and Chloe hang out, and they're like BFFs.
Yeah.
Totally.
That's cool.
And that also goes to, I was just thinking it would be funny to cut away right now to Cher and James Vanderbeek at lunch. Toasting, we did it.
We've done it.
We've both done it.
Cornered the market on ourselves.
Yeah.
No, I mean, that's what's so appealing about having James in the show. It's like, it opens up a whole other world for us. You know what I mean? Like, James playing himself, it's like, it lends to the credibility. Is this going to be okay for you?
The annoying noise machine you ordered is
it's
here.
Great.
It's just
it's
around.
Great. Yeah.
But also, like, you know, it adds to the mystique of Chloe, because it's like, how is this girl who's doing this sort of small-time, like, Craigslist grift, best friends with James Vanderbeek? Like, who is this woman? You know, like, where does she come from? So, and then for James on his own, it's like, he's trying to reinvent himself in the show. You know, he's like, just at the end of his Dawson fame, and he's like, I want to be taken, you know, seriously as more than just that one character. And you could also sort of read into it in real life, you know what I mean? Like, you can sort of fall down the meta rabbit hole a little bit, because it's like, James Vanderbeek in real life is reinventing himself a little bit by doing comedy on this show, you know, so it's a cool thing.
I'm going to let Lee ask a few questions, and I'll come back and finish up with you guys, ask a couple more. But before I get to Lee, I did want to bring up how you brought up meta. And what's funny is that's what I hate about sitcoms nowadays. They're very meta humor, and I don't like that term. I hate it.
Mm-hmm.
But what's great about this is you have Vanderbeek in the show. So you can make those references, and they work.
Right.
Yeah. And they work, because it's like, and you're making even sometimes you're making up references, like the Vietnamese energy drink or the Kevin Sorbo arm wrestling thing, and it gets cut off because no one cares.
Right.
I mean, that stuff is great. That's how you do this meta humor.
Totally.
That's the comedy.
Yeah.
And you guys nailed it. I was so impressed.
I was so impressed. Because I agree with you. The other kind of meta is as a TV show winking at the home audience. That's a different kind of meta.
I don't like that.
We're making a TV show. Mm. You guys are watching. Yeah.
It's not relatable.
It's not relatable. Yeah. It's a whole different level. It's irony. You know what I mean? It's not sincere or whatever.
Yeah. It's supercharged irony, and it overwhelms the comedy. You know,
but this is a different kind of thing. Yeah, exactly.
All right, Lee, you got a few questions?
I do. I did very much agree with your Facebook post about meta. I agree that it's irony is just such, I think, sort of a lazy device.
Right.
And when it dates so quickly, and when you have something, I think that's really you're believing in there's a characters in the story and all these things, then I think it lasts a lot longer and it makes more of an impact.
Absolutely. And I think it's you know, we used the word brave earlier, but I think it's much less brave to be ironic. You know what I mean? Because you're a little bit removed. You're like, I know this is I'm not invested.
Right.
You know?
You're hiding behind the critical distance.
Right. Exactly.
Well, what I see now is that there's a lot of things that are so ironic that they're an ironic commentary on themselves being an ironic commentary.
Right.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it crawls up its own ass at a certain point.
How is this different from, you worked on American Dad. How is it different from that?
Well, you know, just the actual physical production process is different just in animation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's much longer. You have many more opportunities to refine the script, you know, like punch up jokes and fix stories.
And micromanage performances, too.
Yeah.
You get into the booth and you can tweak somebody 16, you know, times to get the exact line reading you want.
Exactly.
And we're not running film anymore. We're not all digital, but we have shoot days. And in order not to burn the actors out, we have to keep our shoot days ideally like 10 hours.
But really, it's just production that's different.
Yeah.
Writing-wise, same.
Yeah.
You know.
Do you allow for improvisation, things like that?
Totally.
That's a big thing?
That's a big thing. I love it, and I encourage it. You know, we always want to get it the way it's written just to have it. But then I think it just adds so much to the characters, to the set, to, you know, have that. And I'm also a big believer in alts.
Uh-huh.
Having alt jokes,
oh, yeah,
you know,
yeah, yeah.
beating
yeah.
jokes on the day.
We always
know.
Draft a bunch
yeah.
of alts. We have a whole list of alts pretty much that we bring
yeah.
to set
That's
with us.
Because I wonder, yeah. I mean, when you write, when you've got something when written, you think I have to allow for some kind of, you know, anarchy
mm-hmm.
a little bit just in controlled sets because there's a possibility that we're trusting the material too much maybe.
Right, right. Mm. But also, you know, you never want to think that there's only one way to do something or one funny version of a joke. You
of course.
Know, like for me, like that's what makes it exciting. It's like, this is funny, but then you come with something else and like, oh, that's really funny. And then it opens up a whole other avenue,
mm-hmm.
you know, and just allowing yourself to, because at the end of the day, the ultimate goal is to get the funniest version. Doesn't
right.
matter how you get there.
Right.
You know, and I think that that's really allowed. And that's actually something that I did learn on American Dad from Seth and Mike Barker and Matt Weitzman is that, you know, at the end of the day, it's got to be funny. You
mm-hmm.
know, the story has to work. You have to care about the characters, but we're making a comedy, you
right.
know, and I don't want to make a smile show like that. I feel like a lot of shows settle for a smile.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, and I'm like, that's, yeah,
well,
let's beat it.
Absolutely. Well, what I mean, it seems like you're working from an idea. Like, we're making fun of how people today are so open about their weirdness.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the guy, the neighbor's got the blow-up doll that he just shows off that's a Republican that he argues with. Like, and it's like, and he has no qualms about
yeah.
that.
Right.
That's
Eli
funny.
Is out there. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Out there.
I'm very big on that. And, yeah, yeah, the lack of certain elements that are so self-aware. This is total film school stuff, writing stuff. But
that's cool.
I'm feeling good about that. I'm yeah. feeling good about
feel
that
strong?
Last few minutes.
That was
all
great.
Right.
I feel great about it.
He's going out on a high note. Yeah. he's like, I got them to listen to me. I agree with Lee. I just think that what I love about this show, once again, is, yes, all the characters are open with their weirdness.
Mm-hmm.
But I think here's the thing we were talking about the other day, Lee. These characters talk like real people talk,
mm-hmm.
unlike other sitcoms. And that's what I love.
Cool.
That's what I love. Yeah, you can have the craziest angles you want or the subplots, and we've all done crazy shit.
Right.
So people just may be a little weird about sharing it, but you're
right.
sharing it, which is cool. But these people talk about things the way real people talk about things. There's this sweet scene that's still funny where Krista and Dreamer are in the bar together.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, that is how that conversation would go.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so many times I'm watching a sitcom, and I'm like, people don't talk like that.
Yeah.
With all due respect to Workaholics, Community, whatever, people don't talk like that.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
They could be great shows in their own way,
mm-hmm.
but this show's really yeah. relatable, which is great with that they're pairing it up with Modern Family, which is another show
yeah.
that's really relatable.
Mm-hmm.
So I really want to compliment you guys on
Thank
the writing.
You.
Thanks.
Thank you.
You know, we take it really seriously, obviously, and like
yeah.
you know, we I think Notch and I both are big believers in naturalism.
Yeah.
To the degree to which, you know, you want the characters to speak like human beings, and the jokes can be in there, and the jokes can be organic, you know, but they don't have to be like bump set up jokes.
But those are the funniest jokes,
yeah.
are the organic,
yeah.
you know,
exactly.
the stuff that just isn't
that arises from conversation and personality, as
yeah.
opposed to like, here's a joke that I've written and I'm sticking in, and you know it's a joke because I'm putting a big light on it, you know.
Right, right.
Yeah, as an example, you could have gone way over the top with the father going out with Dreamer.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But and the father's name's Scott in the show,
mm-hmm.
and there. You didn't.
Right.
You didn't. He wasn't a goofy guy. He
no.
wasn't a bad
honest.
Guy.
But
yeah.
that's the
yeah.
thing. It's like you have to play the real, you know, in the craziest of the situations.
Play the real of it.
The
yeah.
real of it is what's funny.
Yeah.
yeah.
So it's like you already have this thing where she's setting him, you know, so in Chloe's mind, this is a good idea. But the dad, he's just a genuine guy. Like he's just
trying to figure it out.
Trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know?
You know, the way I was pitching the show to my friends last night is, that one, I said it's like a Extreme Odd Couple, but
mm-hmm.
another thing is, if you like writing, if the dialogue, you know, obviously we want to laugh, and I know one of the shows my friends consistently laugh at is Family Guy,
yeah.
and I go,
Funny
this
show.
Is a realistic Family Guy
Thank you.
In a writing style.
High praise.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Because the jokes are really that funny. When they hit,
right.
I was laughing so hard.
Good.
And
good.
I don't laugh out loud at a lot of crap.
Right.
I was laughing loud, man.
Good.
That's great.
I was so impressed.
That's what we're trying to do.
Yeah.
I don't watch network TV. I was just blown away. I'm like, well, maybe we got lucky here. Maybe we got a winner. So
I hope so.
I'm just pumped because sometimes, you know, I request to do interviews with everyone that I like. And I liked your guys' backgrounds. I actually watched Kitchen Confidential and liked it quite a bit. I love Anthony Bourdain.
Yeah, Tony was great. Tony's great to work with. I got to know him and...
I love his show. What's the show called?
No Reservations. He's awesome, and he's
amazing.
There's very little distance between the Bourdain that you think exists and the actual Bourdain. That's pretty
great.
Much no air between those two characters.
That's great. So I knew I wanted to interview you guys, but then you get sent the work, you know, and you get nervous. You're like, you don't always like it all.
Yeah.
This, I got so relieved because I walked into our apartment yesterday. I told Lee, oh man, I can go breathe a sigh of relief. I can go in there and plug this thing like because it's
That's
great.
Awesome.
It's a great show.
So you guys share an apartment? You guys
yeah.
roommates? Your roommates?
Yeah.
Who's the Chloe and who's the June here?
Actually, we're both the Junes, and there's another. We're both the neighbors. I do sit on the balcony and stare at other people's balconies. That's true.
Like, hello.
But that's for my cigarettes. And that's my excuse. You know what I was going to ask you guys before we wrap up? We have a lot of college kids that listen to the show and stuff. A lot of people there in film school, acting school, whatever. I'm from Second City background and Piven Theater, so I always want to get an idea of what is your advice for breaking into whatever field of the business you're trying to break into, whether it's acting or writing. And I mean, honestly, the most responses I get, this is the number one response, is network your ass off and ask for favors, which I don't think a lot of people realize because in film school they tell you, well, study Lee Strasberg and do this and do that. But how much of that's truth? What is it for you guys?
I mean, for me, I would just... I mean, it's important to sort of meet people, like, you know, and make connections. But
the work.
That's not going to help you if you don't just work, you know?
You have to have something to show.
You have
to
have something to show. And also, I would say, keep your voice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, that is the most important thing to me because I think that a lot of people are trying to figure out what other people want and what's happening out there, and they can kind of, like... get a little bit lost.
Yeah.
And I think that the more you trust what you think is funny, what your unique point of view is, and just stick to it, then that's where I think the best work comes from, you know?
What's the best stuff for you guys to see of unproven talent? Is it shorts? Is it...
In terms of hiring a writer or an actor? Or
either or.
I like shorts, actually.
I like shorts, too.
I mean, I like for actors, I really think, like, the sort of... you know, the Funny or Die videos, whatever, stuff that just makes me laugh. You know, I really, like, for, you know, up-and-coming sketch stuff.
I think you're right. And the reason I asked about shorts is because I haven't talked about this on the show, is for people out there that want to act and write, I just did a short with Mike Binder's son, Bert, who did a great job. And I mean, obviously, Bert's connected and stuff through Mike and... But, you know, Tom Cruise saw it, loved it. Like, people love the short. I mean, that is how you get noticed. You got to put your work out there.
I think it's all about the work, you know. And certainly the connections are important, you know.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, we have friends that we've known for years. I mean, you did an interview with Chris and Phil. We know those guys. You know, But I think at the bottom, at the base, at the core, it's do you have the goods? And if you can show that you got the goods, that's why a short's such a great idea. It kind of collapses your capacity to perform and write into one nice little morsel, and
you think of, like, all the things that have stemmed from people just doing shorts. I mean, we talked about Seth MacFarlane.
South Park was a short. Jesus versus Santa Claus.
That was a Christmas card.
Tiny Furniture, you know, that was a short that they, you know, made into a feature. You know what I mean? Like, and on all levels, you know, indie movies to animation to just, get your voice and get out there and just do it.
So put out stuff. Network and you know, did you guys ever ask for favors as you were coming up, or even
we all kind of helped each other? I mean, it's like in our group of
friends,
we just sort of look after each other.
Favors is such a like word that's been beaten into the ground and given kind of like a bad vibe at times. But like, yeah, help. I think the key is if you help somebody, they're going to help somebody.
Right.
They're going to pass it on, you know.
Right.
I think that's
the key.
Pay
it forward, Kevin Spacey style.
Yeah, yeah. I'm always told, you know, pay it forward, pay it forward. People love that fucking movie.
Yeah.
No one saw it. For a movie no one saw, they sure believe in the mantra.
They quote it a lot. They quote the title.
I like Kevin Spacey's makeup in that film.
Oh,
it's fantastic.
Oh,
burn makeup. Very up there with Man Without a Face. I would say second only Man Without a Face. The best burn makeup in Hollywood history.
So what can we expect? How many episodes are we going to be seeing this season of the show? What can we expect in the future for this show? What do we got here? We're premiering Wednesday.
Premiering Wednesday, April 11th.
After Modern Family on ABC.
And then we'll have 7 episodes. That'll take us to the end of the season, you know, the network season.
Yeah.
At the end of May, so we'll have 7 episodes, and then we'll see what happens. You know, we'll see if we get a pickup for season 2. Hopefully, we will, and then you know we'll keep it going. But we've got a you know, I don't want to spoil anything, but we've got a fun arc for James, like a season arc
where
he's trying to figure out what his act 2 is in life.
Mm, I love that.
And then you know the girls and Chloe just being Chloe. I mean the thing is it's almost like anti-change with her, you know.
Great.
Which I think is fun.
I want the show to be a hit so bad. I have a theory. My mom could have been a network exec. If she likes a show, it's a hit.
Please tell us your mom digs the show.
So I haven't shown it to her yet. So I'm going to show it to her this weekend. I'm going to tell her watch it on the internet. And her thing is, if she likes a show, it's a hit.
Well,
and if she doesn't like a show, it gets canceled really quick.
Oh, my God.
She's very good. Yeah. Thank God we're not live today, or else she'd be calling in right now going, I told you that Criminal mind suspect behavior, no good. No good. I like that Forrest Whitaker, but it's
they
no
bred
good.
The franchise out. They went too far.
Yeah.
It was like Multiplicity, one too many.
And then she came to me a few months ago. She's like, you know, I like CSI New York, but I think it's time. like she's a network executive.
She's pulling
like
the plug on CSI New York.
Yeah, and she writes Bruce Fretz, who's a buddy of mine, a TV guy.
Yeah.
She writes him letters all the time because she knows we're friends. So she'll be like, this show that replaced all my children, Bruce, you better jeer it. Give it a jeer. I don't like it. I want it off my television. Bring back all my children. Yeah, Bruce and his cheers and jeers. I haven't
That's
asked
great.
Bruce. I'm sure he's seen the show. I need to ask him what he thought. I'm sure he'd like it.
Oh, cool. We talked to somebody at TV Guide.
Do you remember? Matt Rausch?
Yeah.
Was it Rausch?
Yeah.
Did he dig it?
I think, yeah.
He's going to be supportive.
That's great. That's great. I'm so happy for you guys. I think you guys come off as really nice people. I'm sure when we leave, we're going to get made fun of for having no neck.
We're very drunk. No, we're very drunk right now.
He thinks he's going to be an actor.
Good luck.
A little podcast that could.
Yeah, it's short.
We fooled them. That's what we're going to say after you guys leave.
We'll put our smoking jackets and monocles after you leave.
But see, this is where people can find my bullshit, though. If you go back and listen to past episodes where I don't talk about the product the whole time.
Right.
Yeah.
This one I talked about the product the whole time. So don't trust the bitch in Apartment 23. It airs Wednesday, the series premiere on After Modern Family on ABC. It's definitely worth checking out. And the pilot is really, really good right off the bat. So that's awesome. That's hard to do.
Yeah, it's tough to do.
That's hard to do. Last question, because now that I brought that up. When you write the pilot, do you write it like it's the middle of the fourth season, or do you write it to start the show?
There are two kinds of premises. There's the premise pilot, and then there's the hot start pilot.
Right.
I mean, this by its nature had to be sort of, this is what the premise of the show is.
Right.
Yeah, it's the beginning.
Right.
You know, definitely.
I love the mortgage. You watch the show. Watch the first episode. It's great. I love when she gets tackled. I don't want to give away all the gags. It's good. It's funny, funny stuff.
Thank you.
So and thank you for keeping a classic style and just adding some new twists on it. I mean, there's in a weird way, there's a little John Hughes in this show.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy. The things I was picking up on is just classic comedy. You got to watch this show. Don't Trust the Bitch in Apartment 23. Please check it out. Thank you for checking out the Matthew Aaron Show today. David Nanochka, thank you so much.
Thank you,
Matthew. Thanks.
Yeah, and Kristen Ritter, I'm telling you, if this show is a hit, there's Emmys.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm telling you.
Oh,
she's
God.
Good.
Okay.
She's
yeah, she
really,
is.
Really, really good.
She is.
She's going to be a huge star because of the show.
She's amazing.
She's going to break
out
big.
We do
good,
love her.
Good job, guys. Thank you so much.
Thanks,
thank
man.
Have
you.
A good day.